Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the NRL Bulldogs Fans Podcast.
G'day everyone, how are we? Another week and another few injuries. It feels like every week we do a podcast. We've got a new list of injuries to talk about. Another game where injuries hurt the Bulldogs. Parramatta running away 30 points to 4. But how are you, Matthew? How's your week been?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I'm doing a lot better than a lot of Bulldogs players. You say another week and have a lot of injuries. Well, I feel like every time I open my eyes, two more players go down. We don't even have to play a game at the moment, Scotty, to lose two players.
It's bloody ridiculous. I don't know what they're doing. Are they playing games in training? I don't know. The intensity level.
Sure they are. But, yeah, it's just... It's getting onto the sort of ridiculous stage. I still think calling it a crisis is a step too far. Thank you, media companies. But
everything's a crisis in the media.
It is getting, it's getting very frustrating. I'm sure for the players as well as the fans. 30 points to 4, as you said, Scotty, to Parramatta. Never nice to go down to the arch rivals, but really Parramatta, Scotty, never really in danger of that result. I think the boys, though, they dug deep and kept the scoreline somewhat respectable, I thought. There was a real danger of that score blowing out to 50, and at one point I thought that was the way it was heading. And you know what? I think it's become very clear that this is going to sound like a bit of a derfred, but very clear that injuries are starting to really affect the performance, isn't it? Not just players missing, but players playing, you can see that they're not 100% right. Plus, on top of that, the obvious loss of Carraz, Averillo playing on one leg as well. I think Ockenbaugh being moved to the wing, I think hurt the flow as well. Like, it was a bit of a, you had to do it. But I think Ockenbaugh now is an out and out. His future lies in the forwards for me. Positives, though, Pangai Jr. was strong in his return game. He looked fit, tried to have impact in defence, pulled off some big shots, which was good to see. Some of his offloads had my heartbeat raising. No, Scotty, I'm not sure about you. And I did feel sorry for poor old Toppany there, getting his chance in top grade again, but stuck out in the centres, not being able to really showcase his skills to the full length, playing out of position.
100%. Agree with everything that you said about Ockenbaugh. I think now he's just a genuine forward. If it's the back row, even a little bit of front row. Now for Jaden, he just out of position all the time. Parramatta attacked that, and you think, geez, wouldn't you attack the two youngsters on the edge? You've got Porter Moddy, who's, again, had to play wing.
Yeah.
I just see him as that type of player who's just a genuine centre and not a winger. Some of those players just can't shift across or shift in. He's one of them, I think. And like you said, Toppany playing in the centres, again, makeshift centre. A makeshift club. So then you got to realise they had Jacob Preston on the inside of them. So you've got like three young dudes in their career, three young men. Adam Moddy's not even 20 yet. Jackson Toppany hasn't played many games, nor has Preston.
At
the elite level. So you've got them three trying to defend next to each other, and I'm sure, you know, they do training and off-season and stuff, but you don't prepare too often for Jackson Toppany in the centres with Porter Moddy on the wing, especially when you've got the likes of Braden Burns. And that's another player who had the pull-out, apparently suffering a bit of an ankle injury that he's been having all year. So, and he just couldn't get himself right for this game. And then you talk about the other injuries. Max King, he's got a foot injury that he's going to try to play the year out with.
The obvious kick out midweek.
Sorry? Yeah.
Kick
out tearing the pec after we did the podcast. We couldn't report that, which could be almost season ending or close to it.
Well, I think it's said 8 to 10 weeks, but yeah, is the season still alive at that point? Who knows?
Other reports said 14 and 16 as well.
I think
he's maybe on a better end of it. I'll go with what Gus is saying at the moment. He works for the club, and other people are maybe just taking a guess what torn pecs normally look like. So,
they'll be getting the best treatment. So hopefully you can get him back, and Adakar as well, obviously. as soon as physically possible. We definitely need some of the players returning, and less of the players getting injured. That is for sure. I'll tell you what, they're proud of the boys' effort, though. I thought at times that they really dug in. They really dug in, and they could be proud of their performance.
Yeah, I think despite the loss. I think years gone by, if we had that scenario, even last year, just add the injuries and where they happen in the game. And we've got to stop losing players early, too. We're losing players early, stuffing the whole interchange, bench rotation. Like, never want to lose players, but if you lose them later in the game, it becomes a little bit easier to make up for it. But if we played that game last year and the same thing happened, I know Power put a score on us last year, but I'm just thinking, Power had the opportunity. Yeah. If you look at the first 15 minutes, Power had all the ball where they wanted to, and they couldn't crack the line.
Yeah.
And they couldn't crack the Bulldogs for anything, and it was repeat set after repeat set, and you had that feeling Mitchell Moses had the ball on a string, and repeat set, repeat set, repeat set, repeat set, and the Eels just couldn't crack the line. And it wasn't until Carraz's injury, the bit of the reshuffle, then they started tackling Ockenball, was when they started scoring the points. So, very proud of it. They could have three or four tries in the first 15 with that possession.
Poor Avarillo too, especially that first half. Hey, running around on one leg, looking like a deer that's been attacked by a crocodile, limping around down the sideline. It was sad to see, really. Credit to him for. Sorry.
This is a horse who had been shot.
Yeah, credit to him for you know, toughening it out, and he looked a lot better in the second half. I believe he had a painkilling injection, which helped, but
still not right.
Yeah, it was harsh to see. So good on him for toughing it out. I suppose, Scotty, before we move on, a big congratulations to Paul Alamotti getting the only try of the match and his first career try. So always good.
Did he score Belmore?
I'm going off what the commentator said.
Oh, who scored a Belmore?
We can fact check that as we go through. Another point I will make, Scotty, is that I saw Kevin Serrato made an appearance on NRL 360 this week. It's not a show that I watched, but I saw that he was on it, so I did go and saw his little bit. And one point stuck out to me, which was really sad, I thought. We're heading into round 8, and there he was on the show. It's nothing to do with him, it's just the situation. But he goes, I can't even remember the question that was asked, something along the lines of, are we improving, or how long it's going to take to be a contender? And he came out with the line, well, I haven't even seen our full team play together yet. And I just thought to myself, heading into round 8, you got your head coach saying that. What, that just sums up the situation, doesn't it, this year? Round 8, we haven't had our full team playing.
It feels like 2005 again.
Yeah, that's a throwback. And as I was telling that, Scotty, I can confirm that, yeah, Paul Almoney, Scotty's first try.
I was doing the research. He did the setups for Josh Adokar.
Yes.
The intercept, long range. He was involved in both of Adokar's tries. That was my confusion, so I apologise. Probably deserved 2 tries in Belmore. So,
absolutely. All right. Yep, sorry. Congratulations to Paul Almoney.
I apologise. I should have got the 2 in Belmore. I deserved it. When you play that, such a good game but don't get a try next to your name.
Yeah. I would like to start talking about some happier topics. We have that coming up on the list here in a minute. But before we do that, we're going to do Player of the Year. So, funny enough, we had a quick chat beforehand on who we picked for what, and we've picked the same 2 players in the same 2 positions. So, Scotty, you take it away in whatever fashion you want.
Yeah, well, I don't think the 2 point surprises anyone this week. And this is my 2 points. I was at the game. And you just saw him everywhere. He played 72 minutes straight. He's the fan favorite. I think he's, I'm going to call him more popular than Burton at the moment. And that's saying something because Burton's very popular. He's Maxie King.
Sorry, mate. I've got to say that's got to be a load of shit.
That's fair enough.
he has got a cult following. Yeah, Maxie King.
He will tell you. He will tell you he's probably more popular than Burton, if that's true or not.
He just puts in the effort, doesn't he? Week in, week out, you get the same sort of performance from him, regardless of the score line, regardless of what's happening around him. I reckon he's one of the leading forwards possibly the game. Or if he's not, he will be soon. So well done to Max.
Putting this out there, Bolter for Origin. He wouldn't be out of place for a bench spot for Origin, surely.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, so just to, you've got 17 runs, 159 metres, 54 post-contact metres, 2 tackle breaks, 48 tackles. It wasn't that. Short kickoff. There was a short dropout. He ended up with a ball and a short kickoff. Now, what's Maxi King catching the ball for short kickoffs? There was a short dropout. He ended up under it. And then the short kickoff was a rebound from Parramatta, but chasing through. Those little 1% efforts stuck out.
He's like just a competitor, right?
Yeah, it's just a competitor. Then he's got those stats to back him as well. So it makes it easy when you read the stats. But it was always those little things the whole day. I think it was one of those players I don't think at any club, like you could hate the Bulldogs as much as you want. You can hate him. But he's been, if you're like a Parramatta fan or whoever, or Roosters fan or whatever, who hates the Bulldogs. But you can't hate Max King. You just can't. He's just that type of player who's loved, I think, by whoever likes the game, loves Max King. I think that's just as
well.
There's no hatred.
You've mentioned Origin there too, Scotty, and that just had I just had a thought. Who is he eligible for? Because I was going to say, if he's a Queenslander, he'd probably be picked. Now, looking here, his junior football, his first junior football in Australia, looks like it was in Maitland, so hopefully that means New South Wales, but he was born in Huddersfield, so perhaps England may be coming knocking.
Is he here, Pom?
I had no idea. Born in Huddersfield, it looks like by the age of 7, he was playing in Sydney, though. Now, he lived in Huddersfield till the age of 7 when he moved to Australia, so there you go. He would be eligible for New South Wales, but also England.
Has anyone made the commentary in his career?
There we go. The next player, Scotty, you got the stats. I'll leave that to you. But the next player with the 1 point, we both gave it to him. So that will give him 2 points for the week, and actually 2 points overall because he's a new player to the list. Tevita Pengai Jr. Really had an impact on his comeback. Saw a lot of good things. I already touched base on some of his offloads that scared me a little bit. But some of his defense was fantastic, and he definitely had an impact in the middle of the field as well.
Yeah, 15 runs, 121 metres, 44 post-contact metres, 47 minutes played, 21 tackles. People got to remember, I was reading a comment on Instagram and saying, oh, he only played 47 minutes. He had 6 offloads, by the way, as well. He only played a limited game time. It was just first game of the year. No trials, no nothing under Tevita. So I thought 47 minutes was a healthy game, and it's something where he could probably try to build to play 50 or 55 next week and just those little...
Yeah, that's pretty much what Serrato said after the game as well. Serrato actually said he probably played more minutes than expected for game one. So, yeah, he definitely did well there.
I think as well, just noticing at the game, towards the end, he was starting to try to smash Parramatta physically, beat them. He's the type of player, and he's even came out this week and kind of said he's the better player when he sees red. He can make a bigger impact. And that's as much as it's probably true. And we'll talk about his battle coming up against the Sharks and some moments against the Sharks that he's had.
Yeah, perhaps a bit of the Michael Jordan theory, hey?
Yeah, so he's a bit of like, but then also in saying that, it looked like at one stage I thought he was going to, his arm was a bit, at the game, maybe my view, I was seeing behind the goalpost when they're watching, just literally behind the Bulldogs when they're defending, it looked like his arm was getting a bit loose, and I thought, oh God, all we need is him to actually swing and actually smack someone on the head and cop a careless charge or, you know, back for 1 week, and then we lose a player for suspension. Like, we cannot afford to lose players for suspension with their injury list, you know? So, but it's correct. He sees a personal challenge. I think is that one, your risk and reward. Like, yes, he could get suspended like twice in the year, but he's also, when he's angry, he tries to run through brick walls for you, and he'll knock people out of his way to get there. So, interesting one for him to come out and say that. And I really think he's going to try to take a personal battle against the Sharks. So,
for sure, he'll be leading from the front, for sure. Okay, that leaves our list at the moment. Scotty, number one place, Max King is... With those 5 points he picked up, he's now on 13 points, and he leads second place by 6 points, who is Jacob Carraz on 7 points. So there you go. Max King out in front on the leaderboard at the moment. Closely behind Jacob Carraz is Corey Waddell, 6, Reed Money, 5, Josh Adakar, 4, Burton and Perham on 3. And then there's, let's do all of them. Pengai Jr. and Topany on 2, Alamotti, Reynolds and Preston on the lone point there. So that is the 2023 Player of the Year update at the moment. Scotty, we want to flip the narrative and talk about a win against Parramatta, and then this New South Wales Cup team has delivered yet again. 28-6 win at Bankwest Stadium, continuing the dominance in that grade. A try double to Blake Wilson. And I'll just give you my thoughts from the highlights I saw, and then you were there, Scotty, so you could probably go into it a bit more deeper. Mm-hmm. However, Bailey Haywood looked to have a really good game and got some game time in the halves by the looks of things, despite wearing the number 9. Interesting to see Caleb Rajab at fullback and Josh Papali'i some time at hooker off the bench there.
Yeah, that was interesting. Is this me to go into it? Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. So when I put the team list on...
Deep fourth by Scott.
No, sorry, I thought you were going with the World Hearts. I must say, Blake Wilson.
Hmm.
Kid who no one knows anything about because, you know, he's going from Queensland Cup to Bulldogs. I think he's got an NRL contract next year. He's doing everything in the right way, at least on the field, at the very least. He's just a goer. Jesus, he just doesn't stop. He's quick too. He's very quick, but not much of him, but he runs like he is big and tall and strong, but he's not that tall compared to the other wingers. Not saying he's a short person by any stretch of the imagination, but there's... I must say, it was a horrid start for the game for both teams. A sin binning kind of opened up the game, a Parramatta sin binning over the game for the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs took full advantage of it. It looked like at one stage it was going to be 0 at half time, and I think bang, 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 Bulldogs. But yeah, it was interesting. Caleb Rajab playing a fullback. Don't know what happened there. I don't know why Josh Papali'i wasn't playing fullback. Because you listen to the podcast, any podcast this year, he always gets spoken about, Josh, on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm wondering, Scott, is it just perhaps looking to the future of the NRL? I'm not saying for Josh, I'm not saying for Caleb or even Bailey in particular, but is that sort of switch up, change around in positions, looking to the future in possible opportunities of the NRL, possibly after round 10?
Well, yeah, who knows? It's be interesting, but Kyle Rajab, I would be picking Josh at fullback, but in saying that, I thought he played a solid game. There was moments where Parramatta made a break in defence. I thought, this is a test for someone who defends on the front line. You versus a one-on-one, that's pretty scary. I don't know. I couldn't tell you how much fullback he's played in the younger years. I don't know if it was just an opportunity to give Bailey Haywood a shot to the halves, and they thought that was the best way instead of. And Khalid Rajab has played a lot of games on the bench for this last couple. I thought this will get some kilometers in his leg. I don't know if that was the theory behind it. And Josh is still quite young, or if he's carrying an injury, maybe. I don't know. I thought this was limiting his game time. But defensively, he was quite solid physically. However, the talk wasn't very strong at the back, and that's a skill in itself. Being confident enough to scream out into players. But yeah, it was, again, solid. I think the Bulldogs would be thinking we could have been better and we probably could have scored more points against the Eels. And saying that, when the Eels crossed over, massive celebration for the Eels was 16-4, and it flicked the Bulldogs into another gear, and they're like, no chance you're coming back. We're going to make sure we're going to close the game out and give you no chance. So rewarding thing is, Bulldogs overall played well, but they could play a lot better in that grade. And again, a lot of interruptions. The team list was shuffled. You've got players who regularly play moved up, who more likely will come down shortly, hopefully shortly, because that means players are coming back from injury. But I was actually impressed. One of the weirdest things I want to be impressed with, I want to highlight Sam Hughes. He got absolutely pumped in a tackle. Samuel Hughes? So he got pumped in a tackle, got up. He had a bit of a sprayed himself, I think. And his next run he ran, he knocked a Parramatta defender over, got to his front and played the ball, and then started cheering himself. He was pretty excited. I saw that and I thought, That was so interesting. Like, he was not happy with himself getting absolutely knocked backwards in a tackle. And I think, you know, well done, you know.
Absolutely. And you've got, from reports, Jarrell Skelton had a good game as well.
He always has a good game.
Can't be far away from an NRL start, surely, particularly with, you know, 2 to 4 players going down every week.
He just makes things happen, Jarrell Skelton. He's the type of player who just makes things. You can put him in a dead end and he'll end up making a half break or something to... causes headaches. Alarm bells ring every time he touches the ball on that level.
He's a type of player. I'm going to throw this out. It's just come to me now. I'd love to see him play centre, but drop back. He's got the size to have the... I feel like I've been talking about this for a few years, this type of idea, but the size of a winger to bring those carries from out the back, he's got that. But I'd love to see him in that centre position in like an attacking raid down the... in the attacking zone down the other end, so... That would be interesting to see. Samuel Hughes scored a try in the 64th minute. Scott used some skill.
Yeah. He is a big guy. Sorry, that was I didn't catch it. Just catching watching the New South Wales Cup. Like, he is it feels like he's a giant on that level. I didn't really notice that in the top grade as much. But yeah, he's a big guy. Yeah. I just thought it was his little funny moment early in the first half. But yeah, I was actually.
If you haven't seen Samuel, the highlights or whatnot, or the Samuel Hughes try, jump on YouTube. Very great skill by a big man, using some footwork, kicking it, chasing through, and getting the ball down before the dead ball line. It was quite impressive anyone.
I was thinking that looks like a forward doing that when I was watching it. And then I was like, it was, and it shouldn't have been. It shouldn't be a forward.
Well, I'll tell you what, Scotty, this weekend there's a great game in the New South Wales Cup, so get down to a call at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Bulldogs are playing Newtown, always a great game, like 10 years or so between the two clubs, and this year will be no different. Two pretty much top-of-the-table clubs, two top-five clubs going at it. It's always great to see Newtown jersey running around out on the field as well, so I'll definitely be there watching that game.
Always, yeah, Newtown Jets is fun to watch. It's always fun to, you know, walk down memory lane, but Newtown have been a powerhouse for years and
much as
epic clashes. Like,
as much as, I was just going to say, as much as we want to win in that game, you love to see the Jets play, don't you?
Yeah, it's just something about the Jets and Bears, like, you love to watch, but which are both powerhouses too.
This year, for sure.
But Jets are great side. Like, last year's finals, the Jets were meant to go to the grand final. That was the call, what everyone was saying. The Bulldogs got the win in a tight contest. It's always a tight contest between the two clubs. I would say if you're being a tipping man, you'd probably favour the Jets just based on the Bulldogs' top grade squad. It's funny that just the injuries is now starting to show in New South Wales Cup. I would have said the Eagles would have been gone. Thank God the Bulldogs were suffering with injuries, because if they had their full squad at top grade, that could have been an ugly New South Wales Cup game. I'll tell you what, it could have been ugly. And I think that's why the Bulldogs would be like, we could have probably got another 20 points against the Eels.
One major news item this week, Scotty, for the club is came out today, I believe. Wigan are making a big play for Luke Thompson, according to reports. They can offer a lot more than the Bulldogs. I want to carefully say what I'm going to say here. Using the word superstar in regards to Luke Thompson, NRL superstar, I think is a step too far, media people. I was like, oh, great, we're going to lose Burton or Adam Carr or Kickowers already wanting out when I saw the headline. It's Luke Thompson.
Maybe Reed.
I'll be happy to keep him, don't get me wrong. But I don't think we've seen the best of Luke Thompson during his time in the NRL at the stage, and perhaps a change of environment might be best for him. And if he does leave us, I'm sure that will open up some more money for us to sort of sort out our pack a little bit more too, maybe get a little bit more depth into that middle role as well. So not that I'm death riding him and wanting him to leave, but that's my view on that.
Yeah, I've got a kind of a view that you put a figure in front of him, and this is it. It's not, we're not negotiating. We're not in a position to negotiate, not to, like, take it or leave it type of deal. Like, he would have, for me, he'd have to take what under what he's on now.
Well, does it even come down to, oh yeah, well, that would come down to money. But I was going to say, with Wigan, like, Wigan are offering a lot more money. Despite, I think their cap is going to be less than half our cap going forward, so that's interesting. But if they're offering, if they're the only real competitor, surely Luke Thompson stays, right? Surely he goes, I've come out here to prove a point. I've come out here to show what I can do in the NRL. I haven't been able to do that. So as of yet, due to injuries. So if it's a choice between us and Wigan, surely it doesn't come down to money at this stage. Surely it comes down to him showing the NRL what he can do.
That's what I was thinking too.
You'd have to figure it. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking too when I was reading the article.
Sweet as. All right, before we go into a little preview of next week's NRL game, it's time to catch up on the lower grades. And Scotty's going to pull up the ladders again for all the grades. We're going to start off with the New South Wales Harvey Norman Women's Premiership, the reserve grade, if you will, to the NRLW. Tough week for the girls, Scotty. We put down to Mounties 36 points to 4. It's not a great result. However, we still finish in third place. I've taken that away from you. Sorry, mate. Still finish in third place. And we'll play the Illawarra Steelers on Sunday at Leichhardt Oval. So if you're in the area, or perhaps you want to make a whole day about watching Bulldogs over the weekend, you can head off to Leichhardt this week to watch a couple of different grades. But the women will be playing the first finals game in the Harvey Norman New South Wales Women's Premiership. Moving on to the Jersey flag, and I will need your assistance on this one. The Bulldogs beat the Eels 26-22. Jordy Bazan got a hat-trick, having a great season. Jordy on the wing.
The Bulldogs are sitting third, only one win away from the Roosters and Sharks, who are first and second. Got the 10 points, the Bulldogs.
Yep, so if we look at the scoreboard now, that's Bulldogs 2 wins, Eels 1. Thank you very much.
That's all that matters, scoreboard.
And I'm sure some Eagles podcast somewhere is going, the only thing that matters is the NRL. Harold Matthews Cup, Bulldogs defeated the Raiders 25 points to 18.
Yeah, which is Bulldogs now fourth. They dropped down the ladder.
That's the end of the season too, so yeah, finish it fourth.
Kind of really sucks that, you know, you get a win and drop down the ladder, but that's, you know, what happened.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, hold on. That was the semi-final. That was the first week of the semi-finals in the Harold Matthews. They beat the Raiders 25 points to 18, and they're through to the second semi-final against Penrith Panthers. A little bit scary, that. This Saturday, Leichhardt Oval.
Panthers have played 8-1-6 in the regular season. So
in the regular
That's how good the Panthers are.
So it's hard this year because all the different competitions are having different finals systems as well. They're not all the same. So
no, they're not at all.
To keep up with them, it's not as easy as it was in previous years. The Tarshall Gale Cup, Scotty, we've gone into finals week 2, so we will play the Illawarra Steelers on Saturday morning at Leichhardt Oval as well. Win that, we're into the grand final. And the Ron Massey Cup, last week, the Bulldogs lost 52 points to 12 at home down at Sporties down in Moorbank. Next week, we play the Samaritan Saints at Samaritan Leagues Club. So it's been a bit of a rough year for the Ron Massey Cup.
And it's the top of it's first versus last. The Saints being first, they've played got 4 wins and a bye. Perfect 10.
Yeah.
And the Bulldogs are on 2 points with the 1 bye. It's enough to the Tigers.
So first year in the Ron Massey Cup, and I think we've talked about this previously, Scotty. I think the Moorbank Rams are running it. It's all played at Moorbank at the end of the normal days of footy down for the Moorbank Rams. And yeah, the players look like they're from that sort of setup. So no excuse, but whatever competition the Bulldogs are in, we will cover, and we expect to do well.
We looked at the Queensland Cup with the Clydesdales.
Yes. We need to cover the Queensland Cup more. So if you could pull up a quick update for us.
Yeah, I don't know, just
the forgotten cousins, haven't they? A little bit. We did say at the start of the year that we would follow the Queensland Cup for the Toowoomba Clydesdales connection with the Bulldogs, but we have not followed through with that.
Well, the round five result recently,
44-28
winners over Eastbridge Jets.
Which is the first win of the season and puts them up into 11th spot out of 15.
Thank you. We did the opposite there. but yeah, so the Clydesdales, I was just, you said if we played in grade and they just hit me.
That's right. Sort of similar to the North Coast Bulldogs with the Bulldogs logo on their jersey at somewhere as well. So definitely all the connections will lead into the Bulldogs, which is what we want to see. So hopefully Toowoomba can turn their early form around. This week, Scotty, we play one of the heavyweights of the competition, the Cronulla Sharks, at Core Stadium on Saturday. How are we feeling getting into this one?
Yeah, not too good. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, it's going to be an uphill battle. You put a Bulldogs full strength side, and I was just looking at it. Like, if you put your Viliami Kickouts, Jacob Carraz, Josh Adakar, and you go, this is actually going to have the potential to be an epic battle.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, backs against the wall. Sharks are expected to win. So maybe we've had this attitude that, you know, Sharks are here to win. They have to win. They have to win comfortably. That's the standard the Sharks have to have. Like, if the Sharks would be a real threat.
They haven't really hit the heights of last year yet, the Sharks. They've been a little bit inconsistent. Three wins, three losses. So that's middle range there and sixth spot. But they must have had a bye there as well. Yeah, they did recently.
Yeah, they did.
Are they coming off a bye? West Tigers had a bye last week.
Yeah. West Tigers first points.
Yeah, yep. So
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. So they have been a little bit inconsistent, the Sharks, this year. So perhaps, you know, some things go our way. Gritty performance might be in with a chance. However, working against us, ladies and gentlemen, referee this week is Chris Sutton. And I said to you, Scotty, before we started recording, I wasn't looking this stat up because of the fact that we got Chris Sutton as a referee. I'm just, got no life, so I look at statistics of rugby league randomly. Sorry?
Sounds about right, yeah.
Thanks for the support. Chris Sutton has refereed 19 games of the Bulldogs in the NRL. The Bulldogs have 4 wins.
That's not the best stat.
No, particularly, like, yes, we haven't been a good team for a long time, but given Chris Sutton has refereed quite a number of years now, that's a really damning statistic there, I thought, anyway.
It is. It's maybe the Suttons talk about the birthdays and the birthday dinners and the gatherings, how much they don't like the Bulldogs, or maybe, you know, we're going to start being a powerhouse, so the Suttons have to have a good record for us, like everyone else should. maybe that's the way. So again, you want to run through the team list because it's an interesting team list, and I'm sure there's going to be all the way.
Yes.
I see a couple of players in before there's a talking point, then a couple down, another talking point, and so on and so on. So I'll let you
We'll go through the team list. I was holding off because one of the big news stories, I suppose, of the week is within this team list. But we'll start off at the top, as always. At fullback, it's Hayes Perham. On the wing, Declan Casey. So he gets the call up into the NRL again to cover for our injury crisis, if you will.
He should have been playing earlier, I reckon. But...
yeah. Well, I'm not completely convinced he's going to play wing at this stage. But moving forward down the list, at the moment, Jake Averillo, under injury cloud, is named at centre with Paul Alamotti. And Braden Burns has been named again on wing. So hopefully he'll be able to get through that little ankle complaint. Not that I'm minimising that. Hopefully he'll be able to get through his ankle issues and take the field this week. We definitely need him. In the halves, yesterday when I read this, I went straight past it without blinking an eye because the halves positions have become very similar. But I saw today, it's made the news, Scotty. Kyle Flanagan has been named at 5'8", Matt Burton at halfback. What do we make of that?
I think it's writing on the wall that Kyle Flanagan's even this is the last little chance they're going to give him, and just, you know, sometimes, you know, taking a person out of seven and putting him at six, maybe try to take the pressure off, because, you know, the seven is kind of like where traditionally the main playmaker. I don't really see much changing if that's the case they're going to pair it. Is it a debut coming this week they're trying to hide?
Yeah, possibly. Look, there's not many other ways you can take it, can you, really? We've been big Kyle Flanagan fans and supporters on this podcast, and you really want to see him kick on. Unfortunately, he's had a really, really... Sorry?
He finished the game at hooker last week, and Reed jumped into the halves.
He really had a he's really had a quiet start to the season, hasn't he? I think that's the most important part, to me at least, anyway. You don't want to say players aren't trying, but he's definitely trying. And I don't know if he's been trying to play a different role this year, possibly with the different players. And he does seem to be overshadowed by Burton and Reed Marnie, so I don't know if it's a voice thing. But to me, previous seasons, you can see him trying. You can see him really putting in. And I think we were just sort of waiting for it to click. This year, he's been completely dominated by Burton and Marnie. And I just haven't seen the, I don't want to use the word effort, but the contributions, there we go, that I would have liked to see at the start of the year. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it's a fair assessment. It's actually interesting you say that, because I read a tweet, and you made me think of a tweet that I was reading the other day, maybe yesterday, probably it was actually yesterday, was that it went along the lines of, it looks like it's a job for Kyle Flanagan.
Oh, okay, that's an interesting take.
Not enjoyment. It's just
I don't know if I don't know if I completely agree with that, given how I just took criticism in the past. Yeah,
I'm just thinking, you know, it's, people are coming, like, you know, catching you, like you say, his involvements are low. Mm-hmm. Like he was trying. I feel like he gets himself in the right position, and then he'll shoot a short ball to second row when he should go out the back to the centers, or.
Mm.
Or do the opposite when your second row's got like a thing. It just like feels like he's just not hitting the right option. He gets himself in a position to make it. He's someone who's playing with no confidence, completely no confidence. Yeah. Chatted. He's coming through out of the right coach for him as well, and saying, you know, brand new coach is now under the pump with all these injury crises that the media use. That's the word. See, I've now said it today. The injury list that the Bulldogs, you can almost make a squad in itself. Was sitting on the sidelines, you can almost have a team run out of that. So I don't know if the conversation's been had and they've said to Kyle, you're off contract this year and we're not going to renew you. A lot of players don't take that well. I think of the, like, I can't think of Trent Hodkinson's type, where Hodkinson had that year where he played Origin, and then, you know, the next year wasn't going too well. Then he signs with Newcastle. Then Hawkinson starts running the ball, and everyone said, where's this? And he was a player who knew where his future was, and he said it once he knew where his future was, he could just worry about football. He didn't have to worry about things running in his head. So
That's another way to view it, I suppose. Look, if they do run out in that format, 6 and 7, Flanagan and Burton, I'm with you. I don't see much really changing if that's the way they run out. To continue with the team list, Max King and Tevita Pengai Jr. up front in the forwards with Reed Marnie at hooker, Corey Waddell and Jacob Preston in the second row with Raymond Fatal and Mariner at lock. The bench is Josh Reynolds, Jaden Ockenbaugh, Andrew Davey, who, again, under an injury cloud.
I don't think he's playing at all for the next 3 weeks, at least.
No contact for the next 3 weeks was the report. So he's named at the 16 for now, so we're expecting that to change.
Well, he must be one tough hombre if he's going to play. Argh! Screaming in agony every hit up, every tackle.
Didn't know that Andrew Davey had a... had Mexican heritage, but it's fantastic to find out.
I'm just trying to mix it up a bit.
There we go. Love it. Ryan Sutton in jersey 17. Now, the reserve list is Jackson Tompany. I'll tell you what, if he gets a game this week, which I think he will, I so hope that there's not a reshuffle. He doesn't end up in the centres. I really want him to be able to display what he can do in the top grade, either or ideally at second row or lock. or even hooker over center. So hopefully he gets a shot at his favorite positions. Then we got Samuel Hughes, try scoring Samuel Hughes, the cheering himself on Samuel Hughes. Maybe he's a little bit like Cameron Munster. See Cameron Munster get knocked over and rally the crowd up after that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good one. Good one. I like it.
Jarrell Skelton, Reese Hoffman, and Carl Olaapu is the rest of the reserve. So let's go for the injury clouds. Let's say they all aren't playing, Scotty. So we're removing.
I think that's
fair call. We're removing Avarillo for sure. We're removing
Davey.
So let's say those two are definitely out. How would you like to see us rejig the lineup?
Well, I'm handing a debut jersey over to Jarrell Skelton. I'm saying you're on the wing. The reason I want to put him on the wing as well, he's playing wing in New South Cup, so he's doing it all year. And I'm shuffling Braden Burns at the center.
Okay. I'm going to half agree with you. I'm going to shuffle Casey into the centers and have Jarrell Skelton on the wing.
Well, to be fair, it's you know, having Declan play center or Braden Burns.
Yeah.
I think they're both. I'm going to favor experience and put Braden Burns in at center. However, Hayes Perrin had a shoulder injury as well.
Yes.
Nothing to report on him. So does that mean Declan or Braden have to be careful to play fullback? Because remember, Braden Burns played fullback in the first trial when Hayes was over playing for the Maldi All-Stars.
It looked like Hayes got through the rest of the match okay. So at this stage, we're going to keep Hayes in the squad. Yeah. So we've got those two that we're almost certain aren't playing.
I'm putting Burns...
We'll have a higher chance.
I'm just putting Burns in and just experience. But
yep.
I'm not going to be upset if Declan Casey... Ends up playing center because Burns got a powerful run as well.
And I'm bringing Jackson Toppenny straight onto the bench.
Yeah, but I've got a feeling, and I agree with you, for Davey. Hmm. But then that leaves us with Ryan Sutton as the only middle, really. And that means you're asking Jaden Ockenbore to play middle. Or you shuffle Corey Waddell in the middle, which he's been doing a little bit of, or mainly this year. So you'd have to keep in mind that.
Yeah.
If you're putting Toppenny,
I actually like Waddell in the middle now, and I'd play even you got Ockenbore there as well to play a bit of middle if need be.
Yeah, but yeah, I'd put Toppenny in, but I wouldn't be surprised if
because Andrew Davey, I know he's played a bit of middle, but he's a similar body shape to Toppenny, so I don't see much of a.
I wouldn't be surprised if Samuel Hughes, the try scoring prop, and Serrato says, "Hey mate, try to do that against the Cronulla." but Samuel Hughes, he's not taking a step wrong as well. So I wouldn't be overly surprised if he gets the spot to boost up the middles. Mm. But I'm just looking at that. I'm not convinced Ockenbore makes the squad either. Like, unless if I reckon our bench looks better if Hughes takes Ockenbore or Davey's spot and Toppenny takes whatever the other spot is.
Yeah. Well, it's no secret that we've got a big rap on Toppenny, and if we were the coach, he'd probably be
every week
in the 17, especially right.
Does Carl Olaapu? Does he play this week for Flanagan, or if he does play, does Joshie Reynolds get the call up in the starting side?
Mm.
To take a bit of pressure, you know, get the start because Cronulla, they're a tough side and physically tough.
Does Josh, if Flanagan's not playing, does Josh play 5-8 and we've put another forward on the bench?
Yeah, like to really mix that forward. That could
so you get Ockenbore, Toppenny and Hughes.
Yeah, even Reese Hoffman's in the list as well. He's kind of a forgotten man, Reese Hoffman. He's played one game for the Tigers on the wing. He's also a wing center and second rower. I really does all right in New South Cup. He just does his job. He scored a brilliant try as well in the New South Cup on the weekend. He's speed to burn. Does he come in for Jake Avarillo? Center for center and just bang.
Yeah. So basically what we're saying is we have no idea. We're going to say the team list might change completely between now and kickoff.
The one thing I want to suggest, and everyone got this big rap on the young half cut,
Aloapu.
You can tell I struggle with the names, and thank God I'm not announcing the names. Big rap on him. I have a huge rap on him. However, for the benefit of this young kid, if he plays and he starts, he's up against Nico Hines, the Daly M winner.
And he's got to show him up.
Yeah, well, I hope so. Like, he's up against, like, Nico Hines. And then you look at the Sharks back row, the Cora and Wilton. They're gonna try to, you know, beat him, target him and stuff like that. I don't think for his development, I don't think he's ready now. I've said at the start of the year, unless if this injury, we have a real bad injury crisis in the halves, I wouldn't be playing him top grade at all. I'll definitely have him play 18th man. And yes, if the 18th man gets activated and he runs on, yes, that's his debut. And that kind of sucks because his family would be not expecting his debut. But apart from that, like,
I suppose there's
a couple next year, or unless really late this year, really late this year. Like, if we're not making finals, no chance of finals.
There's two ways of looking at it, isn't there? I've said previously, probably on the podcast, that I'd like him to play a whole year in reserve grade, against men, get his confidence up, learn a bit more about himself, his game, and then be, you know, really ready for selection next year. However, you look at someone the Dolphins halfback Katoa, and he steps straight into the NRL level, hasn't missed a step. So are we the old guys now, sitting here going, you got to do your 12 months, play it against men before you come in the NRL? Has times changed? I think the answer to that is probably yes and no. Some players it's great for, some players it's not. Can Oluapu do what Katoa's done? Maybe, maybe not. I still lean towards that probably slightly older way of thinking. Give him another 12 months. I'd like to see even Haywood be given a chance once that's possible. He's still in the top 30, isn't he?
Well, that's a good question.
I thought he was in the Kennel documentary. That's all right. Even if he can't play until after round 10 or whatnot, I'd love to see Bailey Haywood be given an opportunity if we're going to start throwing out opportunities in the halves and start switching that up. I think at the moment in reserve grade between Oluapu, Haywood and Rajad, he's the most rounded half at the moment.
Yeah, but it seems never going to start. I'll be starting with him, but I also, I don't know if he clashes a little bit, if it's more of a balancing, but Bailey Haywood, he's in the top 30. Also might have a bit of hooker up him as what, like a bit of, you know, he can play hooker. Played for Scotland last year. I thought he did some favours for himself. Like, he looked well, played well, had some really classy moments for Scotland.
One of the better Scotland players, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so, I like him. I think he's a quality. I fought last year in the New South Wales Cup Grand Final, if people can remember that. From the moment he kind of came on, the Bulldogs looked more threatening when he came on and played in the halves for Rojab.
Great goalkeeper too.
Yeah, I thought Rajab had one of those off days in the Cup Grand Final, but then he also played well for Lebanon. Interesting, there's some quality halves there we got.
Tell you what, if Oluapu does get his chance sooner rather than later, wish him all the best. And hopefully he can step right up into that top grade and, like, really take it on, if that's the way the cookie crumbles. That's pretty much it for this week, Scotty, unless if there's anything else that you would like to add to the episode.
Of course, Saturday night, 5:30. Get there earlier. Like you said, the Jets are playing. The Jets are in town, but not Newtown, but they're in Olympic Park. So get there early. The Bulldogs New South Cup side, they're just winners. The next man up attitude's definitely working in that level. So they're just doing some good things. They're finding a way to win, powering through. So there's some players to keep your eye on. I'm a big fan of Blake Wilson. He'll be featuring in that. Eli Clark as well. Is an absolute superstar. Joash Papali'i, big fan of him as well. Of course, there's a lot of quality players who are definitely putting their hand up for future opportunities, if it's the next year or next couple of years. And then you've got the Bulldogs versus Sharks. how good would it be a nice little upset against Cronulla, eh? The good side, Nico Hines. But just let's say Nico Hines is one of my favourite all-time players already.
All-time?
Wow. I'm kidding. But he's, you know, Dally M, he's such a well-rounded, grounded type guy off the field. He's got that real good story that people can get behind, the tough upbringing to looking to help other, you know, help other kids, in particular, that I suppose the Indigenous space, but, you know, helping everyone, really. But just put that to the side for the game purposes. He is a quality player, worth the admission alone to watch Nico, I reckon.
Yeah, I'd actually like to see. I'd actually like to see more players target him. Actually,
well,
I don't feel like he gets targeted as much. Get him tired. Let's see what happens when he's tired. I don't think we've seen that too much, but maybe it's very hard to target him. Perhaps that's why we haven't seen it. Anyway, good wrap up there, Scotty. Also, shout out to the Harold Matz, Tasha Gale, and Women's Premiership playing their finals this weekend. Two games against Illawarra Steelers and a game against the Penrith Panthers. So I'll be following along with those results very, very closely. And Toowoomba Clydesdales up against the Brisbane Tigers on Sunday in the Queensland Cup. So up the Clydes Dogs.
Yeah, I like that. Good one.